Americans, and you're alive. Armed Forces Radio brings you a special rebroadcast with Victor Young and the orchestra, the Ken Darby Singers, John Nesbitt, and America's beloved baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Dear friends, this is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. I will sing Mayday Carol.
The moon shines bright, the stars give a light, a little before 'tis day. For a heavenly Father he called to us, and bid us to wake and pray. Awake, awake, oh pretty, pretty maid, out of your drowsy dream, and step into your dairy below, and fetch me a bowl of cream. If not a bowl of your sweet cream, a mug of your brown beer, for the Lord knows where we shall meet again, to be maying another year. I've been a rambling all this night and sometime of this day, and no returning back again. I bring you a branch of May. A branch of May I brought you here, and at your door I stand. 'Tis nothing but a sprout, but well budded out by the work of our Lord's hand. My song is done, and I must be gone. No longer can I stay. So it's God bless you all, both great and small, and send you a joyful
The composer Drigo, you probably know him best for his popular serenade, also wrote a beautiful waltz, the Valse Bleuette. And here's Victor's grand arrangement of it.
Thank you.
now going to sing a lovely song written many, many years ago. Louisa Reichardt's In the Time of Roses.
In the time of roses, hope the weary heart, spring upon discloses for the keenest smart. Though thy grief or come through the winter's gloom, thou shalt thrust it from thee when the roses
Time is now at hand to hear from Ken Darby, and that, by the way, comes pretty close to giving you the title of one of the numbers. The time is now. The other, which Ken has arranged with it, is the beautiful Hills of Home.
Time to heed the writing on the wall, for the world won't wait, since fate set the day and the time. The time is now, that old Yankee do or die is on the go again, and they'll see a mighty show again. The curtain's going up, can't you hear that call? That call to give your all, and the time is now, to dig right in. The time is now, to fight and win. So we can turn our eyes from warring skies to the hills of home. I know them, love them, see them once again. Their cloudy sob is misty rain, or softly, dimly blue, or capped with snow. I'm homesick for you, mountains that I know. Hills of home.
mighty show again. The curtain's going up. Can't you hear that call? That call to give your all. And the time is now. The time is now. The time is now. And don't forget it.
I've just been watching John Nesbitt rehearsing and muttering to himself. That probably means that the story for today contains some more of those big, expensive words that John juggles about with such ease. If he has to rehearse them, they must be lalapazoozers. But whatever the subject is, we're in for another interesting 5 minutes. John Nesbitt.
Here is the setting for what science calls one of the greatest natural miracles that has ever taken place in Earth's passing parade. And it begins in a forest glade in Pennsylvania. On a day of brilliant sunshine and oppressive heat, a clear, sparkling waterfall bubbles over the rocks. Green ferns and tall canes called calamites grow thick on either side. And above them tower great feathery pines and strange-looking scaly trees called lepidodendra. Flowers bloom, and the warm air is heavy with their fragrance. But there is no man to pick the flowers, and no man to lie in the shade of the lepidodendra trees. This is a Garden of Eden, but only prehistoric monsters raise their voices here, for there are no men upon the globe, and they will not be born for 100 million years. But slowly the monsters die, disappear forever. The green ferns wither and the tall pines crash to the earth. And out of this death and this sadness, a miracle is beginning to take form. And come with me now 100 million years in time. Are you coming? Fine. We're now in the year 1299. And the setting has changed from the ancient dying forest to a dirty prison cell in Genoa, Italy. And there are two men, one of them with a pen writing while the other speaks. And the speaker leans back against the stone wall, his eyes half closed with memory, and a smile on his lips, spinning out a yarn that no one in the world will ever quite believe. "Yes," he says, "I've come up from China, all the way by caravan, mind you, up the Oxus River, and then to Wakhan and Pamir and across Kashgar and Yarkhan and Khotan, clear across the desert that they call the Gobi, to China. And what stories I could tell you, man, of jewels and perfumes and spices and of a kind of cloth they have that's called silk that's spun from the nests of insects and of a lamp oil that spouts right up out of the ground and great platters of gold 4 feet across heaped with venison and gold flagons of wine so heavy it takes 3 men to pour them. I could even tell you of rocks that will burn." And there the secretary laid down his pen and said, "I believed you, Marco Polo. But rocks that'll burn? Heavens, man, you're crazy." Yet from that moment, our Western world learned about the miracle that had occurred in the death of those ancient forests, The brilliant Chinese had known for centuries, but now we were finding out that from the heat and flame rising from burning coal was springing a new world, like Phoenix born in fire. And now think of James Watt, much later, that great skinny Scotchman, more than 150 years ago in Glasgow, who learned the secret of making steam from the coal and using the steam to drive an engine. And think of young Will Perkin, a chemistry shark in a college, only 88 years ago, doing some wonderful, inspired fooling around in his test tubes with the gummy black tar that you get when you distill coal, and finding, hidden away in it, beautiful colors and flavors and perfumes, just as if the flowers and the fruits that bloomed 100 million years ago were now being resurrected, freed from the prison that had held them since the world was young. That prison was coal. And now think of everything that we can see around us in our breathtaking modern world. For through James Watt's engine, coal opened a prison for us and let manpower free. It gave the working man leisure, time to wipe the sweat off his face now and then and look around him for happiness and for knowledge. All that from forests that are dead now 100 million years. All that from rock that burns. And now finally it's its work to free us from still another prison, and that's the prison of fear. For we are fighting this war not only with the power of electricity and the power of oil and the power of gunpowder, but with the giant-like power of coal. Do you know that without coal we couldn't make steel, we couldn't make a ship, not a tank, not a gun, not a shell, and not a bomb? And it takes a ton of coal to make the steel for each one-ton airplane bomb. It takes 18 tons of coal for a four-ton army truck, 50 tons of coal for a medium tank, 32,000 tons of coal for a battleship. Without the rock that burns, more than half our war production would stop overnight. 95% of all the railroad trains would stand frozen on the rails. But our America has coal in abundance, enough to last us 3,000 or 4,000 years. But what's more important, we have an immense coal industry, well organized, well managed, well operated, to dig it out of the earth and clean it and grade it and deliver it to our homes and factories. It is a fact that America can thank its destiny that we have skilled miners and good management working together, for coal is fighting power. It's no accident that our coal mining industry is now producing 75 million more tons of coal a year than we did in the year before Pearl Harbor, and doing it with 10% fewer miners, or that with 200,000 fewer men, we are now producing 10 million more tons than at the peak of the last war, and doing it with greater safety and greater comfort and less waste of human toil. Thanks to electricity, mining has been shorn of many of its hazards and disagreeable features, because powerful new electric hoists are at work, great electric blowers that provide an abundance of fresh, clean air, and there are even explosion-proof electric locomotives that are used underground where a spark might mean disaster, and huge loading machines and conveyors, all of these to take much of the hazard and a good deal of the backbreak from mining. But these aside, what fabulous thing coal really is. That with it, we should be able to set free the fragrance and the color of the flowers, the very flavor of fruits, and the power of a sun that shone long forgotten ages ago. And set free from the prison of dead, black, lifeless rock that has lain in the earth hundreds of millions of years, these wonderful things. And that is why we say that a lump of coal is one of the great and wonderful miracles of nature, one of the greatest that has ever taken place in Earth's passing parade.
Thank you, John Nesbitt. I have no statistics to back me up, but I think I'm pretty safe in saying that the tune Victor Young is now going to play has had more performances than any other tune I could mention. It's your old friend Chopsticks. ¶¶
That ain't the way I heard it, Vic. Cole Porter set a new rhythmic style with our next song, Begin to Begin.
When they begin the begin, it brings back the sound of music so tender. It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars. And down by the shore an orchestra's playing. And even the palms seem to be swaying. When they begin, the begin.
To live it again is past all endeavor. Except when that tune touches my heart.
And there we are, swearing to love forever, and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what rapture serene, till clouds come along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean.
Oh, don't let them begin the begin. Let the love that was once a fire. Like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin,
when they begin,
when they begin, begin the begin.
Oh yes, let them begin the begin, make them play, until the stars that were off before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in.
When they begin, the begin, we'll find their whole happiness when.
When they begin.
Friends, we've sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. You know, Vic and Ken and I especially enjoy getting letters from you servicemen and women, and if you have a song or musical selection you would like to hear, just drop us a line. We'll do our best to oblige. Address your letters to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. So until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye and God bless.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.